the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What we have seen thus far is the Lord's leading in the life of Jacob. And we saw the last time how the Lord moved the heart of Jacob, where He revealed to Jacob through this dream, where Jacob dreamt of this ladder, which I believe described how God is now very close to him. God has revealed Himself to Jacob, showing him that He is not a God who is so far away and separated from Jacob. God still has a plan for Jacob. And even though Jacob may have been a failure in his life, in terms of the mess that you see in his life, the deception, the lies, the schemes, the plan, yet God has a purpose for Jacob, where God will not allow Jacob to wander away from Him. And last time we saw the testimony of Jacob, a very wonderful testimony, where he called the place where he met with God, or where rather God met with him, Bethel, that is the house of God. And he, even though his faith was still young and immature, he set certain conditions. But nevertheless, he was able to acknowledge now God as his God. That was what we saw the last time in chapter 28, verse 21. So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And even though this was conditional, nevertheless, he had already acknowledged Jehovah as his God. This is the house of God where God has met with me. And this afternoon, what we are going to see now as Jacob, or the Lord worked in the life of Jacob, now God also will lead Jacob as he finds a wife. How to find a wife? And this afternoon, of course, the principles that we are going to learn here does not just apply to a man finding a wife, but for that matter, the principle applies to God's directing and God's leading in our lives in general, because we'll see various aspects of God's will, borrowing the idea and the doctrine as expounded by Reverend Timothy Toh, the sevenfold will of God. Here we are able to see various aspects of this sevenfold will of God. And what you're going to learn here is not just for finding a wife, but it's also for God's direction, the obedience and the following of God's direction in our lives. But nevertheless, here specifically, it does apply to finding a life partner. Not only for a man finding a wife, but even for a lady finding the right man or waiting for the right man. And now we know that this is one of the struggles that many, as they grow older, they face. You know, someone once shared with me, you know, that there are different stages that a person goes through when finding a life partner, whether the man or the woman, but if let's say you look at the perspective from the man, there are different stages where a person goes through when finding a life partner. At first, when he prays for a life partner, as he waits upon the Lord, he wants to find a good Christian wife. That's what he looks for. He's looking for a good Christian lady. But as he waits, and the Lord wants him to be patient, the Lord has not granted him a good Christian lady, then as he grows impatient now, he lowers his standard. He says, okay, cannot find a good Christian lady, just find a Christian lady. So some people attach an age to that, but I don't think that the age matters. Okay, so they say, at first, a good Christian lady. But I can't find a good Christian lady, then just a Christian lady. But if I wait a while more and I still can't find a Christian lady, then I just find a good lady. Right, now remove Christian already. Then there's a problem. But if you wait a while longer and you still can't find one, then just find any lady. And that's how some now approach finding of the life partner. And the frightening thing is that this is what we see more and more even in our churches. But this is happening either from on the side of the guy or the side of the girl, where there are those who, after waiting and waiting, they grow impatient. They just find anyone in order to settle down. You know, some have also this struggle because they say, statistically, when you look at the churches today, The number of ladies outweigh the men. There are more girls than guys in a congregation. So how will a girl find a husband? If you just remain in church, you just restrict to yourself to, you know, those who have the same conviction, those who are godly, those who are serving, there'll be so few, they say. And so now they want to broaden their horizon. They want to go elsewhere to find. And then even though you may find someone who may be godly and mature, sharing the same conviction, that person may not be interesting. You know, you still must be compatible. You still must share the same interests. You know, so that you have this liking for this person. Because you're going to share your life together in the years to come. So there are all these thoughts and all these struggles when it comes to discerning God's will, and even especially in this aspect of a life partner. So how should we then approach this issue of finding a life partner, the right life partner? And what we are going to see this afternoon is really how God leads us and how we must be sensitive to the will of God. There are a few things that I will bring out and draw from this narrative account over here, but I believe it all goes back and it all points us back to the discerning of the Lord's will, where we have to be very sensitive to the Lord's leading, to the Lord's prompting, and it all boils down to obedience. In knowing God's will you obey? Will you wait upon the Lord? If the Lord says wait, will you wait? If the Lord says go, will you go? Don't reverse the order. Where at times when the Lord wants us to wait, we want to rush ahead. And then when the Lord tells us to go, we want to wait. This is the problem with us. But now, will you go when the Lord asks you to go? And will you wait when the Lord asks you to wait? And so there are three things that we can draw out from this passage today. Is we see here how Jacob, the Lord led him to Rachel in the right place. And you may say this teaches us this aspect of the will of God that is known as the preceptive will of God. Now, the preceptive will of God simply describes the aspect of God's will that is revealed very clearly to us in His Word, because the word precept simply describes the Word of God, the precepts. When we think of the preceptive will of God, we are thinking about this aspect of God's will where God has revealed to us very clearly in His Word, either through direct command or through principles. So, for example, when you ask if you want to know, is it God's will for you to pray? The preceptive will is very clear. Pray without ceasing. That is a very clear and direct command. But then there are also the will of God that is revealed through principles. For example, in this context of finding a life partner, to not be unequally yoked. The preceptive will of God will reveal this to us where in application, even though to not be unequally yoked does not apply to marriage per se, right? It's not the main exhortation there. The context was not so much talking about marriage specifically. It was talking about biblical separation in general. To not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And that includes ecclesiastical separation. Biblical separation in the church, biblical separation in our personal life, biblical separation in our business endeavors. And then definitely one application would be biblical separation also in marriage. And that's where you see you can draw principles. And principles can be drawn also from either prescriptive passages like that. Prescriptive passages would be like the epistles, you know, where the Apostle Paul would command, will exhort, or you can draw it from narrative accounts. But the preceptive will of God is God's word, which will reveal God's will to us to guide us. And when we want to discern God's will, we must never go against the preceptive will of God. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, before the scriptures were completed, God revealed His will to them through visions and dreams. But today, God does not reveal His will to us in this manner anymore. And so, when we want to know what is God's will, specifically concerning finding a life partner, we first must know what is God's preceptive will. Who will be pleasing to the Lord? in the principles, who is this life partner that I must look for that will be honoring to the Lord, that will be godly? And what we see over here is that Jacob obeyed the Lord in this regard. He was obedient. Rebekah, Isaac, his parents, did not want him to find a wife from the land of Canaan. Now remember the last time we saw that that was what Esau already did. Right? He married two wives from Canaan. And these are hidden wives. These are women who did not worship Jehovah. They were most likely, most probably, idolatrous. And they will be worshipping other false gods. And when you marry these women for Esau, what will happen to him? They will turn his heart away from God. And so, the Lord granted Rebekah as well as Isaac the wisdom, the discernment to tell Jacob that he cannot find a wife from the land of Canaan. And that was what Jacob did, which was why he left the land of Canaan and went back to Haran. He was on his journey to Haran, towards the north and towards the east. And now the Bible tells us that that was what Jacob did. In verse 1, Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. So he left, went towards the north, and then went towards the east. And there he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And this is what we see over here. God's preceptive will. Where to find a life partner? You must find a life partner in the right place. And this also will mean that you must find a life partner who is the right person. Over here, it is from Haran. The conversation went on. Because he asked them, you know, after he came to the land of the people of the east, then in verse 4, he asked them, Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we. And then you notice how Jacob even became more specific. He said, in verse 5, he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And then verse 6, he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. So, not only just Haran, but even more specifically, do you know Laban? Because that was what Rebekah also asked Jacob, to find a wife of her household. Here, Laban was the brother of Rebekah. So, Laban would be Jacob's uncle. And you notice here, Jacob obeyed. Finding a right wife must be in the right place. And to be in the right place, the right person, it must be according to the preceptive will of God. Not just a half-hearted obedience. Some say, can I just find a Christian wife or a Christian husband? Are you sure that that is enough? Because when you look at Christianity today, there are so many who will profess themselves to be Christians. So some may say, I obey the Lord. I cannot be unequally, but I just find a Christian wife. This person says that he's a Christian. But what does it mean to be a Christian? This person attends church. But what does it mean to attend church? It has to be more specific. Jacob, in this case, was very careful. And so, also, we must be very careful. Is this person a Christian where he obeys the word of God? Where his conviction is firmly grounded and rooted in the word of God? Where he's not a Christian that follows in the movements of ecumenism, of charismatism, of neo-evangelicalism, and even today, neo-Calvinism? Would you be able to obey that? And then not just to obey in just a Christian who is from a BP church. Let's say, no, this person is a Christian who is attending a BP church. But is this person godly? Is this person serving? Does this person love the Lord? Does this person share strong conviction based on the word of God? Not just a Christian who is in the BP church, because you can see even the world in the church, even the world in the BP church. Do you have worldly Christians? Of course, that is a paradox. It should not be the case, but the reality is there are worldly Christians even in a BP church. So it has to be very specific because you want to honor the Lord. sadly, today, too many people, they just, in out of desperation, they just go after anyone and anything, simply because their emotions tells them to do so. Simply because now they say that they love this person and this person loves them. You notice over here, what the Bible teaches us is first, it must be the right place, the right person. Do you know, are you sure that this person will be honoring to the Lord? Is this person a mature Christian? Is this person godly? Is this person serving? Not just in Haran, but even more specifically, of the house of Laban. Probably Rebecca knew her own household, that her family, they worship Jehovah. She knew her household, which was why she told Jacob to find a wife from this household of Laban. And so it is also for us. It must be the right person. Why is it that there are so many unequally yoked relationships today? Despite all the warnings, despite all the preachings, despite all the advice and the counsel. No, we thank the Lord that there are situations and cases where even despite the unequally yoked relationship, some of them, they later realize their mistake. And before marriage, they break off that unequally yoked relationship. And then they will testify how they have made such a mistake. And if you ask them, you know, if given a choice, would they have done the same thing again? They will say no. And we thank God for that. Although painful as it is, they want to honor the Lord. And it's not too late if you want to honor the Lord. But once you are married, then that's it. You can never divorce this person. And they don't realize, those who enter this unequally relationship, they don't realize what will the impact will be on your life, on your family after marriage. They just make a decision out of their emotions, out of impulse, and just because of a moment's foolishness, they now have to experience a life of regret. That's why seek the right person at the right place. Know what is God's perceptive will concerning finding a life partner. What has God revealed to you concerning finding a life partner? But the right person at the right place does not mean that it is definitely God's will for you, because there is also the right timing. And this is what we see now from verse 7 to verse 10. You have to trust also the Lord's timing. At the right time. Yes, Jacob went to the right place. Jacob asked for the right person. But about the timing. In God's directive will, He will lead and He will guide. But you must patiently wait for the right timing. Now over here, even though He will identify in a moment that Rachel was the right person. But you notice later on that Jacob has to wait. Okay, if you come down to 14. In verse 14, the Bible says, Laban said unto him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh, and he abode with him the space of a month. So, after Laban found out that Jacob was his relative, related to him, then Jacob stayed with Laban for a month. And later, Jacob offered to work for Laban in order to win Rachel as his wife. And we know later, if you look at verse 18, the Bible says, Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Okay, so he served for 7 years. Now, we will find out about the story later on. Okay, that Laban actually deceived Jacob. And then, instead of marrying Rachel to Jacob, he offered Leah instead, the older sister. And then Jacob offered to work another 14 years for Rachel. Even though Rachel was given to Jacob in marriage first, before he fulfilled the last 7 years. Okay, so in total 14 years. Okay? It's not 14 years for Rachel, but another additional 7 years for Rachel.
So 14 years in total. And even though this was not within Jacob's plan, this teaches us the lesson that God also does direct according to his directive will in the Lord's timing. Yes, he found the right person at the right place, but the timing is also of the Lord, and he has to trust in the Lord's timing. But when you come back to verses 7 to 10, now there's this very interesting picture over here. Okay, what was happening? Now what Jacob has observed over here was that there was this well. Okay, and on the mouth of the well, there was a stone that was covering it. And then at the appointed time, the stone would be rolled away so that water can be drawn from the well in order to water the sheep. That is, the sheep may drink from the water taken from this well. Okay, so that was what Jacob has observed. But then what he was observing in verse 7 is that now is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together, water ye the sheep and go and feed them. So Jacob now observed that there were many shepherds, other shepherds who were around, and they seemed to be waiting for the water from this well. Okay, because now the mouth of the well was closed. Okay, and so the shepherd, they were gathered at this well and waiting for the mouth of the well to be opened. And then Jacob asked them, why don't you water your sheep and then go and feed your sheep? Because the logical thing to do is, instead of just waiting at the well, once you have watered the sheep has drunk the water, then they can go and graze in the pastures. Okay, they can go and feed. But they say in verse 8, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. Now, even though other details are not given to us, what seemed to be happening here is that this well was owned by someone. Okay, there's someone who owns this well. It belonged to someone. And this person has set an appointed time that at this time, then the well would be opened and the sheep can be watered. So what the shepherd would do is that they would just gather there and they'll wait for the right time because it belonged to someone. And then at the right time, the well would be opened and then they can water the sheep. That's why they were gathered there. And so they said, we cannot open the well. We have to wait. At the appointed time, then we will water the sheep. But then it is at this time, while he yet spake, in verse 9, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for he kept them. And what we see here is the Lord's working through the Lord's timing. At the right time, the Lord brought Rachel before Jacob. And here we see how God directs, even through circumstances in life. Now, we need to be very careful in this, because we must always interpret and understand the circumstances of life in light of God's preceptive will. Because sometimes we can deceive ourselves. And if, let's say, we want to pursue after something out of our own foolishness, out of our own stubbornness, we may deliberately twist certain circumstances to fit it to what we want it to be. But you can always see, and you must understand these circumstances in light of God's revealed will. I mean, so if let's say you are working with a colleague in an office, and then this colleague now is an unbeliever, but now you have this connection with this colleague, then you cannot say that, oh, if we have not worked together in this place, if the Lord has not brought us together, we would not have met each other. You must understand the circumstances and see in light of the revealed will of God. And if God has shown you that this cannot be, it's an unequal relationship, then even if it seemed to be the right time, it has already not fulfilled this important principle of God's preceptive will. It cannot be the right person. But even if, let's say, that's the right person, you are saying that I have in my mind this person that I desire for a life partner, to be sharing the same conviction, to be serving, to be godly, to be holy. And then now you wait. But if the Lord does not stand at the right time, then you will never find this person. And that's why there are these two aspects. The preceptive will of God will show you, the right person based on His word, and then God also will lead you at the right timing. And so in this case, He brought Jacob. He brought Jacob to the well, and He brought Rachel, who on behalf of her father brought the sheep to the well. And this was how Jacob first met Rachel. And then in verse 10, now the Bible says, it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. This was the right time. He met Rachel. But I believe in verse 10, it still showed one of the weaknesses of Jacob. Now, I know that different commentators understand verse 10 slightly differently. Okay? There are those who say that this gesture is very romantic. Okay, basically, what's happening here is that now, as Rachel brought her sheep to the well was covered, and then the other shepherds, okay, they could not feed, they cannot water their sheep because the well was covered. They say that we have to wait for the right time that those who own the well will come and open the well, then we can feed and water our sheep. But when Jacob saw Rachel coming, what he basically did was he cut queue. Right? He cut queue and then he took it upon himself and he rolled away the stone and then he watered the sheep of Rachel. So there are those who think that this is very romantic. Right? He's the hero. And that's perhaps what Jacob wanted to do, to be the hero. Don't worry. You see the shepherd, they are waiting there. I will get the water for you. And he just went and cut queue. But what I see here, and I believe that here, it describes more of Jacob wanting to still take things and matters into his own hand. Just like what we see Jacob of old. He just wants to control the situation. He wants to take matters into his own hands. He wants to be in control of everything. And so yes, even though it's the right timing, and even though it's the right person, it's the right timing in the sense that the Lord has led her to Jacob, but it was not the Lord's timing that there he will marry Rachel. He should be patient instead of taking matters into his own hands, instead of trying to just simply impress her. And that brings us to the third thought. Even though there's the right place, God's preceptive will, and then you must follow God's directive will, that's also the Lord's timing, the Lord's purpose. But you also must follow the right way. And you can call this the cooperative will of God. You must follow the right way. That you believe through God's providence, He will lead and direct. And if it's His will for you, then He will show you. But you do not run ahead of the Lord. Over here in verse 10, Jacob tried to take matters into his own hands again. He wanted to impress Rachel, perhaps. And then now, verses 11 to 14, Jacob kissed Rachel. Now, this was a customary thing. Okay, here, it does not describe an intimate kissing because later on, we know that Laban did the same to Jacob. So, probably they were kissing at the cheeks of one another. Okay, it was a customary thing in those days. And perhaps even in the Apostle Paul's time, when they also say, greet one another with a holy kiss. It was a customary thing. Today, what we would use or what we would do, to show our greeting to one another would be to shake hands. Okay, that would be our custom. So here, it was customary for them to greet one another in terms of their being polite to one another, to kiss one another. Okay, so Jacob kissed Rachel, and then he lifted up his voice and he wept. Now, why did he cry over here? Perhaps he saw how the Lord has provided, how the Lord has led. And in God's providence, God has led him to the right person at the right time, but he must make sure he does things the right way. Because Jacob has always had this habit of trying to do things in his own way. By trying to get what he wants in his own way. He wanted the birthright. Maybe he knew that the Lord has said, the elder shall serve the younger. He wanted the birthright. So, he he bought the birthright from Esau. He found a vulnerable moment and when Esau was hungry after when going out to hunt, and then he bought the birthright from Esau. And then later on, he stole the blessing of Esau. This was trying to take matters into his own hands, even though the blessing belonged to him. And over here, even though she was the one whom the Lord has given to him, he must not take matters into his own hand. He had to trust in the Lord's providence. So the first part in verse 10, I believe that what he did here was not right. Okay, it was not wise. He should have waited. But later on, from verses 11 to 14, he did the right thing. Okay, he went to meet Laban. And so Jacob kissed Rachel, he lifted up his voice and he wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And then now when Laban heard it, Laban came to Jacob and now said that, "Surely thou art my bone and my flesh." And he abode with him the space of a month. And so Laban received Jacob. But the story does not end there. Okay, because this is just the beginning of where they met. Later, Jacob had to fulfill the request of Laban in order to marry Rachel. And this teaches us the important principle also of now doing the right thing, the right way, the right approach. Even though it's the right person, it must be the right timing with the right approach. And here we need to draw the principles. Okay, because in those days, their custom and their culture is very different in terms of marriage. But for us today, even though our culture and our customs may be different, the principle is still that you must do it in the right way. If you're finding a life partner, what is it that is the right approach? What is it that is very basic in finding a life partner? Very practically, on the part of the guy, if there's a girl that you want to approach, that you want to consider for a life partner, one very important thing is also to involve the family. Even though here we share different custom and different culture, Jacob did involve the family. One thing that we notice nowadays amongst young people is they like to be very independent. They do not want adults to interfere and to be involved in their lives, especially when it concerns life partner. Maybe they are afraid that, if they share some of these thoughts and these things with their parents, you know, their parents would object, their parents would interfere, and they do not like it. But you know, if young people, you are afraid that your parents will object, then that is a serious cause for concern, isn't it? You know, if you find couples who are involved in a relationship very secretive, always having something to hide, then something is not wrong. The one thing that I constantly remind even the youths that I'm serving with is that you must remember, okay, that especially for the guy, okay, the girl that you like, that you want to approach is somebody's daughter. Right? Is the daughter of her father, the daughter of her mother, and she's still under the care of her parents. And so how would you treat her? The respect that you show her, it is still as to one who is under the care of her parents. And that must be the approach that you take. And I believe that guys would treat ladies very differently if they remember that they are under the care of their parents. And not only that, you also must remember she's the daughter of the king in that she is God's child. You know, in our Calvary Pandan Youth Fellowship, they have this Bible study that is for the YF girls, and they call this Bible study the daughter of the king. Right? Wow, so proud, right? Daughters of the king. I mean, guys also, we are the sons of the king. But I believe that, I mean, it's not proud, you know, I think that is very meaningful because they are truly daughters of the king. And guys would do well to remember that. That when you see a girl, when you treat her, the way you relate to her, she is the daughter of the Almighty King. And she's also the daughter of those whom the Lord has entrusted to her. How would you conduct yourself with regard to her? And if now you is the Lord's will for you to get married, you are now going to take over the care of this girl. that you will protect her. You will cherish her as her father has protected her and cherished her. But sadly, some guys do not understand and may not understand this yet. And that is the wrong approach. So even though it may be the right person and the right time, but there must be the right way of doing things. You don't, if you do not treat one another with respect, or even at times it may be even on the other side, the girl, unwilling to submit. If they cannot show this maturity in even approaching one another, then is it really the Lord's timing for them to be together? These are questions that we have to answer. It must be the right place, it must be the right time, it must be the preceptive will of God, it must be the directive will of God, but it also must be the right way, where you obey God's cooperative will through the providential leading of God, as the Lord brings two people together. God cannot bring two people together through sin. Some try, maybe they force the hand of God. They fall into sin. They do not, as you say, the right place, the right time. But then the way they treat each other in this relationship, they become so intimate. Physical intimacy. And then now they commit sin. Can it really be honoring to God? Then now they have to force the situation. Force the hand of God even. They try to at least. Because now they have no choice. We thank the Lord that the Lord is merciful. Hey, that maybe you can say that that comes under another aspect. The chastity will of God. The Lord is merciful. You know, even if sin has been committed, when you repent, you cry unto the Lord is merciful to restore. But let this be also a warning for young men and young women, those also finding a life partner. Do it in the right way. And doing it in the right way also, it means that you must know your own weakness. Because it is, the emotions are very deceptive, right? We can deceive ourselves. We may, who have fallen into sin in relationships, thought that they will fall into sin when they first tempted and played with sin. They thought that they are the exception, right? They always think that I'm the exception. Others may fall, but I'm the exception. But then they fall into sin. And this is where we need to be very honest. Now, emotions will deceive us. The right place, the right time, but also the right way. I believe that Jacob did not do the right thing when he just simply opened the well to get water for Rebecca, or for Rachel. But later, at least, he did the right thing. He met Laban, and he had to wait patiently. At first, 1 month, and then after that, another 7 years. There's the right approach, even though you may know that this is the right person for you. And of course, there are other practical applications that we can draw, but these applications must always be seen in light of the preceptive will of God, right? In using the right approach. How do you know what is the right approach? How do you know what is the right thing to do? The preceptive will of God will show you, okay, step by step, one step at a time, what you must do. Finding a life partner. And this does not just apply to men, but even women. Can you trust, first of all, and you must know God's preceptive will. What God has revealed to us in His Word, either through direct command or through principles. This is the right place and the right person. And then, obey God's directive will. The Lord does use providence, circumstances to lead. This is the right timing. But in all this, there must be obedience. This is the cooperative will. That is the right approach. There must be obedience. If the Lord shows very clearly, and you also approach it in the right way, involve the right people, seek godly counsel, and follow the counsel of God's word. What is the right approach? And when you honor the Lord will honor you. If you follow the Lord's way, then the Lord will lead you. For many who may be struggling with this, one of the key things for us is patience, to trust and to wait upon the Lord. But when the Lord shows, then you go. Let us pray.
Our loving Father in heaven, thou art our God, who art sovereign. And we thank thee for this assurance that thou art the God who will lead us and guide us. We thank thee that we can never fall out of thy will. But, O Lord, we pray thou will help us to always be obedient to thy will. Help us to be obedient to thy word, to thy preceptive will, to what thou hast revealed to us in thy word. Help us also to be sensitive to thy timing, to thy leading, thy prompting, and grant us thy obedience, that we will always, even in the right way, do the right thing. Forgive us, O Lord, for those times where we may have sinned against thee, where we have disobeyed thee, where we have either run ahead of thee, or where we have refused to go where thou call us to go. O Lord, we pray now, thou will help us to put aside our own pride and stubbornness and submit to thee. We thank thee for this afternoon where thy people can gather in such a manner to worship thee. We pray that thy name will be glorified and magnified even in our lives. Hear this our prayer, for we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.